Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, I was brought up in a broken home when that was not done. So when my mom and dad divorced, they had to both leave Peterhead. And my sister and I were sent to live with my grandmother, just a little girl of six, and my sister was five. And I never really realized what it all meant, but she gave me a very happy childhood. They both did. My grandfather had a business in town, and they took me out to Black House, and I lived there. I hardly ever saw my mother. I think I saw her about twice up till I was 12 years old, and sometimes I would see my father. So they had very little input into my life. But I grew up in a very happy situation. My grandparents were very good to me. They loved me. They took me to this church was a church I was brought up in when it was a South church. I never thought the day would dawn that I would be here in a different context altogether. But I was brought up in this church, and she was very fussy that I came to Sunday school and knew right from wrong, and she did everything that she could to bring me up properly. And when I started working here, I was 14 years old, and I started to work in the local chemist, and I served 4.5 years there, and that's when I met my husband, both teenagers, and we got married. Well, I was 18, he was 16 and a half, and we got married. And everybody in the town thought it was catastrophic, that it would never work. He came from one side of the town and I came from the other. But funny, when you're young, you don't see all that stuff. You just see each other, and we started together as a young couple. I remember going to get married. It was in Aberdeen. And his sister said to him, Have you got enough money for your marriage license? He says, what license? She said, well, you need 7 and 6 pence to get married. Well, he says, I don't have that. And that was the situation at the beginning of our marriage. Yeah. I think we had 3 soup plates, and that was about it. Nothing very much. And we lived in a small wooden building, 12 feet by 6. Had a sink, but no water. And there we started our married life. I had a little boy, and he died when he was 3 weeks old. Nobody is interested in those days. Now there's a whole big thing about it. But I'm afraid I was just told to get over it. It would pass. Well, it took me 5 years to have Wendy. She was my next baby. But during that time, my husband went into the army. He was called up in national service, and he had to go abroad for 2 years to Italy. And it was a very lonely life I led, just walking about. And one day, I heard there was a meeting in, actually, Broad Street. It's opposite where Apex is now, upstairs, through a lane, and up a stairs in one small room. And I thought, oh, well, I'll go. And I went in there, and I had never seen or heard the message of the gospel preached except by old men, and they'd always robes on and a big thing. And when I went into this hall, here's a young fellow with a red tie jumping about the platform talking about being saved. Well, I had never heard of being saved. I didn't know what he was talking about. But you know, what you understand has nothing to do with what God does. Yeah. And God began to speak to my heart. And he said, you need to be saved. And I was really concerned. And I went back the next night. And that night, I gave my heart to the Lord. He preached on, what profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Now, I knew that was going to be some step. Because for one thing, Simon didn't want a saved wife. Secondly, I'd never done anything without Simon. And here I was making a decision for my life. And I want to tell you something. If you decide for Christ, it's a decision for life. It's not in and out, up and down. It's for life. You give your life to him, and you don't take it back. So, of course, 2 years, he was 18 months in the army, and I am in love with Jesus. Now, I was very quiet, but I was excited about God. He had done something in me that made everything within me come alive. You are a new creature in Christ. And I began to get so excited about the Savior. So I wrote to Simon and said, I've fallen in love with Jesus. So he wrote back and said, that you want. You're not falling in love with anybody but me. And I thought, oh, really? And the trouble started. We used to write each other 5 times a day. So don't talk about being in love, you stupid youngster. 5 times a day we used to write each other. And phone, if we had any money to phone with. And we just lived for each other, and here I had got saved. Well, I want to tell you, when I got saved, I got saved. I went from black to white. There wasn't a gray area. Everything stopped. There wasn't a maybe I could do it. No. There wasn't a maybe I could do it. I was black and white. No pictures, no earrings, no Sunday papers. Whoa. But you know something? I was okay. If that's what God wanted me to do, if that's what the preacher said, that's fine. You know, so I wore my earrings. I had clip earrings, and I used to wear them on my dress. I couldn't wear them on my ears, but I could wear them on my dress. So I did that. I was changed. I was very changed. And he used to write and say to me, this has got to end. Come out of what you're in now, because this is not going to work for us. Well, I couldn't help it. So then instead of praying so hard for them to get home earlier than 18 months, I began to pray, please God, make it 3 years till I get time to understand what I've done. Because I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel saved. I just knew I was different. And then when I got saved, the preacher said to me, now that you've given your heart to the Lord, you go home and tell somebody. Oh, really? So I went home to this Church of Scotland grandma, and I said to her, I got saved tonight, Mum. She said, saved, my dear? Saved from what? And I didn't know. I didn't know. I said, I don't know. I said, I just know something happened to me, and I'm not the same person. Well, then I got baptized in water, and that was another problem. But eventually, the 2 years passed, and he came home discharged from the army. So the first thing he said, you're not going to church. So for 3 years, he did not allow me to go to church. Now, all you modern women that can do what you like, in my day, you did what you were told. You didn't do what you liked. I couldn't go to church. So for 3.5 years, I couldn't go to church. And then an old preacher came to the Apostolic Church, a Pastor Pridey, that many of you will know him. But he was a missionary in Africa. So I said to Simon, do you think I could go to church tonight? And I took Wendy with me. He let me go to the church at night. And while we were in that church, I saw the amazed things that Christ did with that missionary. And then I I had her with me. She was just a little girl. She was 3 and a half. And I looked down and she disappeared. And she'd gone down to get prayed for. I said, what are you getting prayed for? She says, I've got impetigo and I want to be healed. And God healed her that night. And I saw the wonder of Christ, what he could do. And she came back, and from that day to this, she was born again. Just a little girl. And I'm a great believer in child salvation. Mm-hmm. I think if you can get a child saved, you save a whole life. Yeah. You get an old person saved, and you get a few years. But it is so important to get a child saved. Get child salvation. Talk to them about Jesus. And that's where it started. Then I had Philip just 2.5 years after Wendy. And I couldn't get to church. He still wasn't letting me get to church. And I remember thinking, well, what am I going to do? I'm bubbling up inside. We had a chorus. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul. And I tell you, it was bubbling in my soul. And every time I speak about him, even at 90, I want to tell you, it's bubbling in my soul. There's something about knowing him. There's something about knowing Christ, different from just coming to church. No, there's an excitement that he puts into your being that nothing takes away. And I can come alive in 5 seconds if I begin to talk about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you something, folks. Go all the way with him. It's well worth it. I've been saved for 69 years, longer than a half a year been alive. But I want to tell you something. He's never failed me, not once. And when I finally got to the point of I can't sing. All the Camerons sing. Well, I can't sing. I'm not musical. I don't know if you're going off note or not. I don't know anything about it. And I remember because I couldn't sing and I was a bit quiet at speaking, there was nothing for me to do. But I was excited. And I began to read my Bible. And I remember the evangelist saying to me, if you don't stop reading that Bible, he said, and he was an evangelist, he said, you're going to have spiritual indigestion. I said, good-o, let me have it. So that was a start. And then I'm in the house, and I couldn't work because I had 2 small children. And I realized God has given me a congregation of my own. If I can get my own children saved, that's more important than getting everybody in the town saved. So I began to talk to them about this wonderful man called Jesus. It's not what he does for you. It's what he is to you that matters. You know, we can talk about the wonderful things Christ does, but oh, I tell you, see, when he saves you and he changes you and he gives you something to live for, it's so different from knowing about him. It's not enough to know about him. I know about him. The devil knows about him. But when you touch him, there's something happens that changes you forever. And you know, I began to talk to the children about Jesus. Just told them stories. Told them about the land where the streets were paved with gold. Told them the things that are exciting about the cross. And I didn't lay it on. I just told it. And because I was excited, they caught on. There's nothing spreads the gospel like excitement. You know, you can preach all you like, folks, but if you're not excited, folk are not caring. They've enough stuff going on. But though I thank God today that here at 90, nearly 90, I can say, yes, he's done it again. I am still alive. I am still on fire for God. I love him. It was 7 years after I was saved, before Simon was saved. And 7 years is a long time to live a day at a time. And every day he was against, of course, I'm alive. I've got Bibles everywhere. Christian books everywhere because he was a reader, and I hoped he would pick up a book. No, not him. He read everything except that. But I tell you something. I prayed all the time that he would come to know Jesus because it was important. And one day he said to me, I just can't stick this, your salvation thing. I said, okay then, show me how to get unsaved and I'll get unsaved. Of course, I knew he couldn't do that. So I took a big chance on it. I just said, well, you tell me. And one day when I had come to the end of it all, and one day when he said to me, look, I've had enough of your religion. Get out of this house. By this time, I had moved into another house. And he said, move out. You get out of here and take the children with you by 5 o'clock tonight. And I thought, oh, where am I going to go? No social security in those days. If you left your husband then, you left what you wore. You didn't take the stuff in the house. That was you. And I said, where am I going to go? Am I going to go back and tell my folks I've made a mistake? I didn't want to do that. I was too proud for that. And I'm standing there thinking, and Wendy was just 3. Philip was just a baby in a pram. And I'm standing in the middle of my kitchen floor thinking, where am I going to go? And the door opened, and in came Simon, crying like a baby. And I thought, oh, really? What's this? So he started to cry. So I said to him, what's the matter with you? He said, I've seen Christ. I said, you've seen what? I've been saved 10 years and I've never seen Christ. How come he could see him, you know? He said, I've seen Christ and I'm not worthy. I said, really? I said, well, I don't know about you, but I said, the only thing I know about it, the Bible, is that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And with that, he dropped to his knees. And he's shouting, Lord, take me, take me. And I'm thinking, what's the matter with him? Somebody's wrong in this situation. And you know, I want to tell you, God did take him. And he a changed man from that day. The rest is history. Peterhead knew him. He was touched by God, and nothing in God's earth mattered beyond loving Jesus Christ. He was a one-man follower, I can tell you. Born before his time, loved God in a way that I've never seen anybody love God. Never seen anybody. He's gone now 16 years, and I'm still married to him. I had a doctor in this town, Dr. Dingwall. Some of you will remember him. He's a long time ago. And he had drunk himself out of his own home and another home. And one day, now I'm talking about £7 a week wages is all we had. And I passed the door one day and I saw this house for sale. And I thought, I've been in there a lot of times, been examined, having babies. I like that house. So I went to look at it. And I just looked at it, and Simon says, what are you looking at this house for? What are you thinking about? I said, I'm not. I just want to look at it, and a cat can look at a queen, you know. So he came and looked at it with me, but it had 13 rooms. It was a great big house. And it was just during that time, I want to put this in here. Although Simon wouldn't come to church and fought me. One day, I'd always tithed. I've tithed all my life. I can't remember when I didn't tithe. So, of course, I'd always tithed. And this day, when he came out of the army in September, I stopped tithing because it was his money, not my money any longer. So I stopped tithing. But, you know, God doesn't give you peace. And I just was pestered about this tithing business. So one night I was sitting in my grandma's house and I went through and I said to him, have you ever heard about tithing, Simon? He says, tithing? What's that? I says, well, you're supposed to give a tenth part of your earnings to the Lord's work. Well, he says, do you tithe? I says, well, no. I says, I did until you come out of the army. And then I stopped. He says, well, when did you stop? I says, when you come out of the army. So he counted. Would you believe this? An unsaved man. He counted how long I had been not paying tithes, and it was about March. And he said to me, I'll tell you what, you tithe and a half, he said, until you pay God's debt. Unsaved. So I tithe and a half paid back the Lord. It sounds funny, you know, but it was what he said. And during that time, this coming in from his work and seeing Christ happened. Now, by September, I said, well, that's me paid back the Lord. What do I do now? He says, you've managed all this time. Just keep paying it tithe and half. So casual about it. But he had found Christ during this time. And then I was looking at this house in King Street. And unknown to me, the doctor who owned it also knew that I was looking at the house. And because what I had done without telling anybody, I had gone down to his house and polished his nameplate and fed his children. Never told anybody I was doing that, of course. Never told anybody. And then, but his wife heard that I had looked at the house. And she was looking everywhere to find me. When she did, I went out to visit the grandmother. And she said to me, I understand you are looking at the house. I said, yeah. She says, do you like it? I said, yeah, I like it, you know. She says, would you like it? I said, well, really, I don't know if I could afford to pay for it. She said, I didn't ask you that. I asked you if you would like it. I said, well, yeah, if I can afford it. So she turned to Simon and she said to him, how much do you think you could offer me for that house? He said, I'm sitting in a poofy. So I turned my back to him. I thought to myself, what's he going to say? You know, because I knew fine we didn't have enough money for anything. So he says, £800. She says, I'll take it. She says, it's on a market for 3,500. But she says, I'll give it to you for 800. So the bank lent me the 800, mortgage £800. You're paying that a month. He gave me that to pay my mortgage. So I did that, and I moved into 45, got the pastor to bless it. Don't do anything without the pastor blessing it. And he blessed it. And from the day I moved in there, it became a hub for everybody. I think there are folk in this church that grew up in 45 King Street. Everybody was going to 45 King Street. I had a big kitchen table, and I used to put up a table tennis thing in the middle, and they played table tennis. I baked pancakes by the millions, jam tarts by the millions. And the kid, they were all teenagers, so they could eat them all, and they did. And we had a great time. And then I heard that the house across the road was for sale. So Simon went across the road and he asked the man, are you selling your house? He said, yeah. So he asked, I forget what he was wanting, for $3,900 or something. And Simon says, I'll buy it. And I'm thinking, ooh, what's that next? So he went to the bank, borrowed on 45, and bought 46. So at 46 King Street, central heating was a bit better, you know. But everybody lived at 45. My home has been an open door to thousands of people. No much wonder my kitchen table's untidy, because there's always stuff on it. There's always cups on it and teapots on it and everything. So I don't bother about details. That's all details. So I bought that house. And then the oil came to Peterhead. And Wendy sold King Street. She sold 46 King Street and I bought Faith Acres where I am today. No mortgage, paid it off, paid it down, and did it. I'm not a very clever businesswoman, but I'm not daft either, you know. It's amazing what you can do from 16 if God's blessing you and you're tithing. There's something in tithing. I don't know if it's a bee in my bonnet about it or not, but it's I have no interest in stuff. I'm not interested in houses. I'm not interested in stuff. I'm only interested in serving Christ. That's all. And to be able to tell you the wonders of being saved. I mean, it is nothing to do with doing that gives you any privileges with God. It's because when it touches your heart, nothing is too big to do for somebody that you love. I would do anything in the world for her. I would do anything in the world for Neil, for Louise. They're my children. I love them. And because I love God with that love, nothing's too hard for me. I don't know what it means to grudge God anything. He's my first thought in the morning. He's my last thought at night. And we have moved, and people have looked at Faith Acres and thought, how do you do that? That's how we did it. We sold and sold. And I passed 45 and 46 today. And they were the gift of God to me for being faithful. And I thank God for that. But I'll tell you what did change my life. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, it totally changed me. I don't know how it happens, but I became another person altogether. I became fearless about the gospel. Nothing frightens me. I feel secure in Christ. It just, I honestly would say that if you're born again, really seek God to fill you with His Spirit. I mean, I know that we do have the Holy Spirit, but let's have a bit of overflow. Yeah. Let's have a bit of overflow. Yeah. If you get saved, then you're hungry. And the next step is baptism in water. The next step is getting the Holy Spirit. I can remember when I received it, we had old-fashioned tarrying meetings. That's what you need to do. Get people to tarry and wait for God. And I'll tell you what, folks say, tarry meetings, you don't need that. Yes, you do, because God shows you what's wrong in your life, what needs cleaning out, what you've got to change. A lot of things, the Bible says, prepare ye the way of the Lord. If you want the Lord, if you want the baptism, you prepare the way. He won't come in on top of a lot of junk. Let me tell you, clear the way of the Lord. Make way for Him. And that's what I started to do. And of course, I tarried for a long time. I tarried for years in the end. But when God touched me, I want to tell you something. I didn't like people falling. That was one thing I didn't like. And although I have been baptized these years and have prayed for people and seen miracles, I have never been out on the floor. So you don't have to go there. You can do it on your feet. And that's what happened with me. And I began, and I didn't like that. I didn't like shaking. Why did everybody shake when they got the Holy Spirit? Surely the goodness God could do it in a chair. You know, he didn't need that. Well, He didn't ask me. And when He baptized me, I want to tell you something. He shook the daylights out of me. He really did. I'm on a platform with a lino floor. I've high heels and a tambourine. And everything was shaking. Everything. And I didn't know what happened. I didn't know what it was. I could feel it, but I didn't know where it came from. And I want to tell you, I was a new person. That was the year I was 40. Best year of my life. It changed my world. I became alive in Christ. And I just seemed to get a new impetus for Him. Nothing scared me. Nothing feared me. And I just love Him. And it just worked like that. But definitely, I do want to say this. If you feel yourself that you haven't got the fullness of Christ in you, seek Him. Seek Him. It's not a 5-minute job. It's not laying hands on you and you get it. No, 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 no. It can happen like that. Anything's possible with God. But it didn't happen with me like that. And I remember I was scared to speak in tongues because I thought, if Simon hears me speaking in tongues, I thought I'd no control over it. I thought I couldn't stop it. So, of course, I thought, if I start speaking in tongues and can't stop, he'll kill me. He really will. So, of course, I was always getting to the point and then backing off it, you know. And but this time, when God shook me, like he did shake me, I had absolutely no choice. And I tell you, Fred, I was a different person. And that's why I talk like this. That's not the real old me. That's the me baptized in the Holy Spirit. So look out. That can happen. And that might happen to you. But I tell you what, it just gives you that difference, that assurance, that boldness that you're looking for to speak about Christ, because it is so real. And this time we'd gone to Penny Grosvenor Convention. And I'm putting the children to bed in a caravan. And I hear Simon shouting his head off. And it was a field away. And I thought, oh, my goodness me, what on earth's happened to him? Well, he came into the caravan and he said to me, hey, have you heard about the Holy Ghost? I said, yeah. He says, are you baptizing it? I said, no. He says, why not? And I looked at him. I thought to myself, I could tell you, but I won't. So I didn't say anything. He says, Ben, kneel down here, he said. I'm going to lay hands on you. And I thought, oh, God. So I knelt down beside the kid's bed. And he lays hands on me. And he had a loud voice. Simon had a very loud voice anyway. And he's shouting in tongues. And I'm thinking, oh, please, God, didn't give me a baptism like that. Making a Church of Scotland one. Something quiet. Nay, too much noise. Well, that's what I got. But you should have seen when I really got it later on. That was a different story. But I did. And ever since then, he changed totally, of course. My world changed. My life changed. And the gospel became my life. And it still is. Amen. Now, and I will say this. I've touched death. I've been very, very near it. And I want to tell you, see, when it comes to die, folks, make sure that's all you have to do. I couldn't pray. I was so stupid and muddled with drugs. I couldn't ask anybody to pray. You make sure when death faces you, it's not a fearsome thing, but when it faces you, make sure that's all you have to do.
Well, I think you've observed the power of the kitchen table. So many people have been launched into ministry just having a chat like that with my mom. They've gone for a cup of tea, and literally mom has just shared her life and spoke encouragement. We sometimes think it must be the preacher on the pulpit with all the polish and all the eloquence. I can promise you that mom has seen more people launched into ministry around a kitchen table just being able to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. And what about you? Because you may be thinking, well, Neil, I can't do the preach thing like you do, but hey, maybe just like Mrs. C, you can do the kitchen table thing. Maybe you could invite someone out for a cup of coffee just share life. That's what mom has done. You've heard it today. She's just shared what Christ has done for her. And we've certainly heard an overflow of that. I think we've hit all the major tenets in the Bible in 30 minutes. Because why? Because it's an overflow. Yeah. That tells me something. It's got nothing to do with your age. Mom, we love you. We are so thankful for, first of all, who you are and for what you have brought to us. You have been our example. Dad was the man up front, but you were the one around the kitchen table that inspired us in so many different ways to love Jesus, to keep going when we wanted to give up. The power of the gospel. I wonder if we could maybe just bow our heads, close our eyes. Maybe you're here and you've been, wow, this is totally different. And this is the realism of what it's about. This is the power of the table, the communion table, that has allowed us to be around a kitchen table. If it had not been for Jesus, you heard Mom testify from young till, if it hadn't been for Jesus, it's Jesus that made the difference. And maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you haven't got a relationship with Jesus, you've never committed your life to Jesus, but you realize that, hey, that's the missing link for me. That's what I'm missing. I'm missing that relationship with Him. We would love to pray with you, lead you to knowing Him. It's a wonderful thing to know Jesus. You heard the overflow this morning. What about you? Is your life right before God? Saints all around are praying right now. You're here and you've never given your heart to God, or your life is not right before God and you want to commit yourself to Him. Would you just lift your hand? Come on, anyone in this great house. Thank you, buddy. You can put your hand down. Brilliant. Come on, anyone else. You want to give your heart to Jesus. You want to respond to that love of God. Father, we thank you for this young man that has responded to the power of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that we have heard today stories of what Jesus has done, how He can take us from nothing and He can make us into something. That it's not about our background or our backstory. It's not about the brokenness of our experience. It's about our love for God. So, Father, I pray today that it would resonate within hearts and spirits. And we declare to God be the glory. And Father, I pray that you would inspire us to go out and make a difference, Lord. Some of us, we can be effective around the kitchen table. Father, we can have a cup of tea, a cup of coffee. We can just meet with folk. And Lord, let there be that overflow in us and from us of what God can do. So we give you the praise, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.